Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Ian Graham from Blues Traveler.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody live at the Wonderland Ballroom. Hooray! Tonight's guests include Alex Dahl from Shocked and Amazed, On and Off the Midway, Dana Flightman, Pleasure Curses, Haywood Turnipseed Jr. for color commentary, a special segment, I'll Be There For You, a one-act play by Kevin Tribbiani, starring Andrew Bucket and Jen Tisdale as Andy Kiedis and Joan Frusciante. House band Ian Graham from Blues Traveler. I am your announcer, Jamel Johnson, also from Blues Traveler. And now for your host, Blues Traveler number one, Brandon Weatherby!
Hey, we did it, guys. It's the year of traveling with blues. Blues Traveler 2014, we did it. It's a very important week, guys. It's a 10-year anniversary of Facebook, and Facebook is good, Facebook is grand, and I was one of the first people on Facebook, and then I was off of it for a few years. As soon as my band broke up off of Facebook, I didn't need it anymore. It was pointless. I don't like goodbyes, though. NBC does. I don't need to be fired three times, am I right? Three times. Three times, right? It's like graduating high school. A really stupid high school. Because you went to high school with these guys for 22 years. Am I right, guys? 22 years. That's kind of what it's like. So I got on Facebook, and then I got off of Facebook because it was stupid. I have a wife. What the fuck would I be on Facebook for? But then I had to get back onto Facebook because I started this talk show. And if you want to do a talk show, you need to tell people there's a talk show, especially if it's a podcast, because you record in front of people, you want people to come out, you have to interact with people, you get to meet guests and other important things. Like, you need to be on Facebook whether you want to be or not. The outpouring of people has been really something. Anthony Weiner sent me a pic. It said, miss you. It said miss you on it. 22 years! It's a long time. Really long time. When I started hosting this show, marijuana was illegal, and you could smoke cigarettes anywhere you wanted. 22 years, guys! So I got back on Facebook, and I was like, this is stupid. I'm not going to be sincere. So one day at my job that I did not love, I liked everything. I liked over 2,000 movies and over 1,000 bands and over 400 video games and over 100 sports teams. I haven't seen 2,000 movies. I maybe like 50 bands, maybe. I've never owned a video game in my 20s or 30s, and I like 10 sports teams. I did it to fuck up the algorithm. The fun part about fucking up the algorithm is you get really weird ads. Really weird ads. 22 years ago, there was no Craigslist. Serial killers had to meet their victims the old-fashioned way. At the bus station at midnight. At the bus station at midnight. Once I liked all those things, I started just blocking random people, right? I would block anybody that said anything about any political candidate, regardless of my belief system, because I don't give a fuck. I blocked a lot of people in the last week. Anybody that even mentioned Woody Allen, blocked. Anybody that was shocked that Lindsey Buckingham was playing with Nine Inch Nails, I blocked. Why? Because he was on the fucking album. He was on the Nine Inch Nails album that came out. Why is that shocking? 22 years ago, guys, you had to go to the newsstand to get pornography. Pornography! You had to leave the house to go to the newsstand. 22 years ago, you had to leave your house. So Facebook doesn't know what to do with me. They're really confused. So I get really weird messages because I post really odd things on Facebook. For example, I post about this show, right? I'm going to be at the Wonderland Ballroom, blah, blah, blah. But then I tag it with feeling blessed. every single post in the past year I've tagged with feeling blessed. Guys, not going to lie to you, I have not felt blessed 100% of the time. It might come as a shock to you, but sometimes I just have funs and giggles on Facebook. That's what it's for, guys. It's for liars like me. You know the saddest part of it all? OJ never found the real killers. Dancing Itos, guys, remember? Dancing Itos. But I'm really enjoying Facebook, but I kind of felt bad because my wife did the, like, little film thingy, and it was all, like, fucking adorable photos of our cat and, like, wedding photos of us and, like, really, like, nice things friends said about our new job. And then I did it, 100% show-related stuff, and me saying I'm blessed about things. Two of my three photos are shows that I no longer do that have wing specials at them. That's my 10 years in Facebook time. Worst thing about losing this job, I'm no longer covered by NBC. I have to sign up for Obamacare. Computers, guys, right? 22 years. When I started hosting this show, Justin Bieber wasn't even born yet. I guess that's why we call him the Golden Years. The Golden Years. Justin Bieber wasn't born yet. It's fun to fuck around on Facebook, guys. It's fun. We have laughs. We have experiences. And if you're my actual friend, you might know that I don't feel blessed all the time, and I don't give a shit about your baby photos. I think babies are great. Babies are fine. But Facebook doesn't know what to do. I've gotten more invites to open mics in states I've never been to than anything else in my life. I feel the most wanted there. The worst thing about losing this job is that I'm no longer covered by NBC. And now I have to sign up for Obamacare. Guys, it's been a great 22-year run. I would just like to thank everybody. We have a great lineup. We have Billy Crystal here. It's going to be amazing. We have Garth Brooks here. And I'd like to give it up to Ricky Minor and our house band, Ian Graham from Blues Traveler. Take it away. Ian, what song was that?
That was a bootleg one we used to do at Horde Fest called Popper's Star Wars Bong.
Check it out, guys. Horde Fest bootlegs. You can find that song. Thank you so much. Ian Graham from Blues Traveler will be here all night. Jamel, how are you?
I'm good.
Fantastic.
I'm good, buddy.
Did you have a case of the giggles?
Oh, man, I'm a little giggle squiggle, baby.
Well, I don't know where to go from there. How was your week?
It was pretty fucked up, dog. You know what I did today?
No. We don't talk before the show. I have no idea.
Man, redline ripped my pants dick length in the front. Not like the clumps in the ass. In the front.
What did you do?
Dick down to the kneecap. Luckily.
What
for
a great
me,
problem.
Luckily for me, I am a blues traveler, so I always have my backpack with me, which contained my sweet Redskins lounge pants, threw them on over the slacks, went to Foreman Mills, bought some new slacks.
I'd like to say that you're both a good friend and an inspiration to people that wear pants around the world.
Y'all welcome.
After doing this show with you for 22 years, let me just say it's an honor and a pleasure to be spending my final night here with you. You know the worst part about leaving this job at NBC?
What does it tell me?
I gotta sign up for Obamacare.
They don't even have the site up on Kindle, right?
True. Coming to the stage is our first guest, and she doesn't know what she signed up for, and I'm very glad she's here. She's from Shocked and Amazed on and off the Midway. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Alex Dahl, everybody. Alex, please come to the stage. Thank you, Ian Graham, from the great band Blues Traveler. Alex, are you okay?
I'm okay.
Thank you for doing the show.
You're welcome.
Fantastic. You are part of Sideshow.
Yes.
What is Sideshow?
Sideshow, for people who are unfamiliar with it, is actually the secondary attraction. It was created by P.T. Barnum in large part to garner attention for the main acts. So it's a thing that you would go do on the way to the main attraction or while you were waiting for the acts to start up again. So that was Sideshow.
Okay, but like, why would I care about the main act if there's a guy that's like shoving glass in their face?
I mean, that's the question. I think that's why Sideshow became its own entity in the modern era.
So what makes you want to do this crazy shit? And or is it crazy shit?
I mean, it's all crazy shit, which is why it has the appeal. I think, you know, most people... I got into the scene when I was much younger. I think most people who do this, who tell you that they landed in whatever successful position in life they're in now, without any kind of difficulty or hardship, are either extremely boring or completely full of
shit.
Who's
going around telling you that?
There's plenty of people who like lucked into this.
Listen,
like
I worked hard
talent.
To host a show on NBC for 22 consecutive years with
so
a very.
I heard.
It took a long time for me to do this.
And now Obamacare.
The worst part about not being on NBC, I have to sign up for Obamacare.
Tough luck. Lots of technology.
How are you using technology for Sideshow?
So, I mean...
Also, is that the best question you've ever been asked?
Using technology for Sideshow?
Yes.
Sure.
Damn that's, right.
That's some serious...
It's 22 years of experience right
journalistic
here.
Journalistic integrity.
That's right all there. I'm full of.
So yeah, I mean, for people who want to learn more about the Sideshow, they can look at any of the very incredible resources online, such as shockedandamazed.com.
You're plugging. It's shockedandamazed.com.
Shameless plug, but it is the foremost journal on Sideshow in the history of the biz.
But what initially attracted you to this?
So I fumbled into this. I started out as a journalist. I left home when I was very young. And
how young is young?
Well, it was before I turned 18. I finished up high school on my own, and then I went out to become the next Hunter S. Thompson.
What are your favorite drugs? Go.
I think that was the problem right there, is that like when I started out, I was straight edge. So I already
you don't know.
Off of the
wait.
Course.
Did you genuinely like Hunter S. Thompson?
Oh yeah, I mean at the time I did, but it was one of those like I wanted to infiltrate. Like Hunter S. Thompson was famous because he infiltrated all of these previously uninfiltrated entities, like it was Hell's Angels or whatever, like these biker gangs and shit that were really exclusive, and I wanted that. I wanted to do that with Sideshow and with the circus. So I had some pretty hilarious stories about how I fumbled into the industry when I first started out.
How old are you?
I just turned 29.
Okay, so you've been in this roughly 10 years.
Sure, yeah.
Are you still the Hunter S. Thompson of Sideshow journalism?
I am not. I can definitely say... For example, when I first started out, I was really excited about doing things. So I think being as excited as I was about entering the world of journalism when it came to the circus landed me in a lot of really catastrophic places. Like, the first place I wanted to interview was Cole Brothers Circus, which if people are familiar with them, they're just...
No.
They're one ring under Ringling.
Okay.
So they're very famous. They're not a mom-and-pop operation. And so I approached them with this, like, starry-eyed... very enthusiastic and very like interested in their elephant program. It took me 3 weeks to realize that their management was dodging me because they thought I was undercover writing an exclusive for PETA. So,
do you eat meat?
I don't, but I'm not a fan of PETA. And
why
and
aren't
I,
you a fan of PETA?
It's just that it was the journalism, and it definitely got me ousted for what they thought. I mean, they're very cautious. They're a cautious group, and I approached them thinking they would be a lot more approachable because, you know, they are so accessible to millions of fans, but not when it comes to behind the scenes.
That makes sense. What made you transition from writing about... You're still writing about it, but transitioning from writing about it to being like a producer and stuff like that?
Well, I when I started out doing this, after I kind of had, you know, my various catastrophes and failures in the biz... I linked up with somebody who I had a couple of odd jobs, which landed me where I am now. I started out I worked intel for the federal government.
Really?
I did.
Tell us something scandalous, please.
Well, actually, I think it's funny because the parallels between Sideshow and intelligence work are incredible. people don't understand that in order to read people for Sideshow and to kind of like make your mark, it's the same shit if you're an intelligence interrogator. I mean, it's the same.
I've been doing this show for 22 years. I completely understand how important it is to read an audience.
So yeah, so so when I started out in the biz, I took a couple of odd jobs to kind of keep myself afloat because I was the sole source of income that I had. And I landed in like a porn theater, a local record store, and then
what city is this?
This is DC, Virginia area.
DMV.
Yep. And then I was moonlighting.
It's a local acronym people use.
I heard. I was moonlighting at a couple of DC strip clubs, also while working intelligence. And when I was doing that, I ran into a guy by the name of Josh Burdett, who actually was the person who got me into the field after learning about my catastrophic history in journalism. He introduced me to a friend of his, and here's a shameless plug right here. So this friend of his goes by the name of Eric Sprague, who for those of
you... Oh, that dude! I know that dude. He was on X-Files.
He was on X-Files.
I had that cast on my show in the 90s.
Enigma was on X-Files. The lizard man it was in Ripley's Believe It or Not. He goes by the name of Eric Sprague, Lizard Man. But Josh set up an interview between me and him to try and kind of encourage the book that I was writing about Sideshow. And therein lies another story of where I was unprepared. I mean, Eric, though he looks really intimidating, he's actually incredibly smart. He's a PhD
candidate.
I found
most people with facial tattoos and piercings are very nice, and that's not sarcasm in any way.
Well, I mean, Eric's a dick, but he's incredibly smart.
How is he a dick?
I mean, but he's a dick in the way that he's just very, approach with caution. You have to know what you're getting into when you're talking to him, but he's incredibly smart. He's incredibly intelligent. He was a PhD candidate in Albany. He has a degree in
what's his
philosophy.
His PhD's in philosophy.
He's
a dick.
But he's incredibly smart.
Okay.
And so we had a very intense conversation about the business. The interview was never ultimately published, but it did get me into the scene where I am now. Then we have the dawn of the Palace of Wonders, which was 2006.
Yeah.
Josh took me to my first few shows there and introduced me to the scene, and that's where I met the founder of Shocked and Amazed.
Which is a book, magazine,
yes.
Whatever you want to call it.
And that guy is James Taylor. And for those of you who don't know him through Shocked and Amazed, you'll know him through his collection of oddities at the Palace of Wonders and the Red Palace in D.C., which is now defunct. So he was the guy behind all the weird shit.
Now that Red Palace is gone, what's going on with all you... like disparate groups.
Yeah, so when the palace existed, it offered something that no longer exists for the performing community. It offered a chance to suck on stage, to be forgiven, and then to grow up in or to grow out of the community. So now that the community is kind of fractured because of the palace not existing anymore, we're borrowing space from other venues, which is both good and bad. We have venues that never catered to variety and arts entertainment before. So, you know, when I bring performance into, say, Artisphere, I have to ease them into doing fire. We're the first entities that have ever done fire on their stage before.
The main auditorium, Artisphere, seats 200. They mostly do like a Tonight Show, Jay Leno-esque type of show there usually, but it's carpeted as well, and now you're playing with fire on carpet.
Right.
That sounds like a horrible idea.
I mean, it's even worse if you look at a venue like Beer Baron, where the ceiling is as tall as this is now. So, I mean, you can touch it with your hands, and you're doing fire with people like Tyler Fire, who his blasts are like 5 feet tall.
Heard that before. Dick blast, guys. Dick blast, guys.
But yeah.
It worked.
It's something.
It's something. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. So, you're producing these amazing shows. The reason why I know about you is because we ran some photos on BYT of your last Artisphere show, and it actually looked good.
It was awesome.
We run a lot of burlesque and sideshow stuff. Doesn't usually look good. What do you tell people that suck shit? Do you tell them to kill themselves, or do you tell them, maybe not this time, and lie? Are you a liar, or are you honest and brutal? Go.
Well, for me, I have the benefit of being able to curate my own shows, since I'm the sole producer for Artisphere, so the acts that I put on that stage are very carefully curated. They're the acts
that I want
to see. Oh,
no, I agree completely.
So for the community...
What about the shitty people, though?
So for the community, there's tons of people who I would say, you know, are growing up, people who will never be good enough, people who are great now. But for the people who will never be good enough, it's one of those things where, they'll die out naturally. It's evolution.
So you're just letting people die.
I'm letting them die out naturally. But I think, you know, it's important to be supportive of this scene in all of the, you know, in all of its glory right now. It's important to know that, you know, they have venues that they can go to. But I think ultimately, you know, unless you're taking seriously the art and the craft of what you're doing, when people hear about sideshow, they're like, oh, I saw that really shitty sideshow on blah, blah, blah night, or I saw a really shitty burlesque. There's great sideshow, and there's great burlesque.
I completely agree. It's like, I see a band, they suck. I see Blues Traveler, I'm back into music. I get it. Where can people find your writings, your next show, etc.?
On shockedandamazed.com.
There we go.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And where do you have a date for the next show?
So the next show is going to be sometime in the May arena, and we'll be putting out publicity once we get a good date and a good
so
cast.
Guys, keep May open.
Just the whole and May.
Keep May,
May
open. Yeah. Jesus died and rose in April.
Yep.
Keep May open.
Keep May open.
That's an old Irish saying.
I've totally heard that before.
You don't know the Irish? You want to know the worst part about leaving this job at NBC? Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Alex Dahl, everybody. Thank you, Alex. Very good. I'd like to give it up for Ian Graham and Kevin Eubanks. I think these guys are my rocks. I'd like to thank them for the past 22 years of being here, making every show a little bit better. So thank you guys so much. Ladies and gentlemen, give her a warm round of applause. Dana Flightman, everybody. Dana!
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good? Excellent, excellent. Me too. I'm also vague yelling. That's awesome. So advertisements have gotten ridiculous lately. I saw that Kentucky Fried Chicken has a new slogan, and it's "Today tastes so good." I think their focus on the present is appropriate because tomorrow tastes like diabetes and sadness. I also saw this billboard from Medieval Times, you know, the theme restaurant. Is anyone here a fan of Medieval Times? Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow, a lot of love in the room. Honestly, I'm not sure because I'm Jewish and I don't think Medieval Times was a big fan of me. Crusade jokes too soon? I don't know. But I saw this billboard and I shit you not, this was their ad. It said, "Think traffic's torture? Visit Medieval Times." I'm like, let's examine the premise of your ad. It's like, hey, are you annoyed by this modern inconvenience? Then you will love our glorification of historic atrocities. I was like, what am I going to see next on this road? It's going to be like, are you tired of your kids bickering in the back seat? Visit Gettysburg. Or like, did you forget to pack a snack? Visit the Trail of Tears. I think the worst attempt at a tagline would have to be Delta. Delta's tagline is actually, "We'll get you there." It's literally like, Delta, we are a form of transportation. It's not like, we'll get you there on time, safely, alive. It's like, you will arrive in some manner at some point. I'm like, cool, Delta. It's good to have goals. I've been trying to slim down and lose some weight recently. You know, I said that to a crowd the other night, and they all bust out in applause. I was like, you guys are mean. They hurt my feelings. I like you guys better. You guys are like, what? You look great. What are you talking about? Thanks, you guys. But I have been trying. My friend was trying to, like, inspire me. She was like, Dana, don't you see your body is a temple? And I was like, okay, that's really vague because there's a lot of types of temple in the world. Like, my body could be the temple of doom. Your body could be like a Satan worship, human sacrifice, orgy temple, in which case I think fried chicken would be appropriate, honestly. I don't think Rock Hill salad's even available at that establishment. But I have been trying it. Everyone says, like, restaurant portions are too big, right? You guys heard this? So I read this article the other day. It was like, you know what? You get your portion, you should split it in half. Like, just eat half of it. So I did that. Like, I got my big portion. I split it in half. I did such a good job, I did it again. Immediately. You can't have too many good eating habits. Keep trying to explain, like, no, dude, I have to eat the sugar and fat now before I get diabetes, I'm not allowed to eat it anymore. It's just science. I have a friend who has it all figured out, though. I have a friend, there's a true story. She's a bigger girl. She got engaged. For her wedding venue, she's getting married at an aquarium directly in front of a beluga tank. And I'm like, yeah, dude, screw losing weight for weddings. I'm just going to get married in front of an actual whale. I'm going to look amazing. That's how amazing looks, by the way. Who's that? So you can try that at home. So the world's not always nice to the bigger ladies, you know? Like, I can't even go into a Target store anymore because Target is super judgmental. They're all set up the same. They're like this, okay? Every Target store, they got, like, your normal clothes, okay? And then it's plus-size clothes, then maternity, then exercise. And I feel there's a narrative there. It's like, hey, you're fat. Are you pregnant? Okay, then you need to exercise. Yeah, that is your journey. And I'm like, dude, not cool, Target. I don't go there for their judgment. I go there to eat popcorn while I shop. Like a normal goddamn American. Last time I was there, I actually ran into a friend who was there with some folks I didn't know. So we started, like, talking, getting to know each other. So we're talking about, like, our jobs, what we do, what we're into. And then someone had to get all high and mighty and be like, this is such a DC conversation, you guys. You guys heard that? This is so DC right now. And I'm like, okay, what small talk is taking place outside the district? Is it like, oh my God, how do you know Lisa? Oh, that's really nice. What are your deepest fears and greatest dreams? I just want to know you. Just need to move somewhere a little more intellectual, apparently. Talking's hard. I think that's why I do, you know, I do a lot of text messaging. Normally that's okay, but I have this one mistake I make a lot where I'll type the word live instead of love, which sounds pretty innocent but can actually make things awkward quickly. Like the other day, my friend was like, hey, I'm in the neighborhood. Should I stop by your show? And I'm like, sure, man. I'd live to see you. Or just yesterday, my friend was like, girl, I know it's super cold, but could we actually meet and get some froyo? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I live froyo. I don't know what that means, but I just had to own it. I'm like, you want to get froyo casually? This is my life. I live this shit every day. I don't know what that means. It might just mean I'm a white woman. I don't know. I don't know. But you can't always test. Sometimes you got to do stuff in person, you know, like, the other day, my boyfriend was homesick, and I wanted to, like, get him something and cheer him up and go over there in person, because, like, I think when girls are sick, we get a lot of sympathy, like, we might even get gifts and, like, cards. When dudes are sick, we just kind of don't care. So I went over there, I brought him a balloon. It was one of those balloons that says, it's a girl, because he was being a little bitch. Need to get his shit together, get the fuck back to work! So after we broke up, I've just been back on the dating scene, just like trying to find a new father figure for my cat, you know, what we're all looking for. One thing that's hard with dating is like who pays for like a first date especially, right? Like is the dude paid, you guys split it. But I'm a modern woman. I'm like, you know what? I don't even say anything about it. When the bill comes and the dude puts his credit card down, I just put mine down. I'm like, why even waste time talking about it? And then I just wait, and then the waiter will come and they check in, right? They're like, oh, should I split that right down the middle? And that's when I'm like, no, put it on his. Mine's in there for show. I'm just fucking around. Yeah. So dating's going well. I actually got some good dating advice from an unlikely source, though. I was babysitting for some friends, and ended up reading them this ridiculous, the kids, this picture book called Kittens Are Like That. Okay, it's a real book, and it basically just justifies bullshit cat behavior, okay? So this is the book. It'll be like, kittens love to scratch. Sometimes they'll even scratch the furniture. Kittens are like that. And I'm like, okay, first of all, I'm pretty sure this book was written by a cat. So it could get away with whatever the fuck it wanted, which honestly is brilliant. I think I'm going to write a book for the audience of anyone I date called Dana's Are Like That. It'll be like this. It'll be like, Dana's like attention. Sometimes when a Dana calls you and you don't answer your phone, Dana's get sad. And then Dana's get angry. And then Dana start thinking maybe their moms were right about you. And Dana's might key your car and break into your home and wait for you in the dark. Dana's are like that. They're just like that. All right, I'm Dana Flightman. Thanks, you guys.
Dana, good job. Take a seat. Deepest fears and biggest dreams was part of that joke?
Yes.
All right, what are yours? Go.
Wow.
Deepest fears, go.
You know the premise of that joke is that's like not an appropriate question,
yeah,
right?
It's a talk show. We talk about things that matter. What else matters? You could lie.
I could lie?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll be honest and true and live a life.
Okay.
That's how I've been on the air for 22 years
wow.
as the king of late night. Okay.
Right, wow.
Deepest fear, go.
I guess just failure in general at whatever I'm trying to.
Oh, that's horrible. Failure is completely fine. You have to fail to get good. Trust me, I failed a lot. I was on the road in Boston in the 80s. I'd fail all the time. Mm-hmm. Then I would succeed on Letterman in the 80s. And then I got the Tonight Show in the 90s. And then I had the Dance and Eat Toes. It was amazing.
You did that all. And then now it's just like.
So my biggest fear is a lack of denim. Go. Biggest dreams.
I guess I want to run my own nonprofit and somehow also be like. Doing some comedy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I hope I could help with that. I have a lot of cars. That's my biggest goal. Yeah. All the cars. I want to own all cars.
Okay. Yo. Well, you know.
Kevin, what are your biggest fears in?
Nigga, I just realized you're Leno. It took me 30 minutes. Oh, shit. Nigga, you a genius, son. That was beautiful, son. I just thought you was calling me Kevin Eubanks because it's a fun name.
The worst part about leaving NBC after 22 years...
Did you apologize to Conan last night?
Is now I have to
on
sign
MySpace
up for
like
Obamacare!
This man is genius. And everybody here needs to recognize it. You're welcome. Oops. You know what I'm saying? My bad, guys.
Dana, do you think you got a good clip out of that?
I hope so. The audience was great, obviously.
I think I think that was actually really well.
Yeah.
If the clip isn't good, I would like to point out two things that might have been wrong with it. Number one, Jamel was on his phone for 5 of the 8 minutes.
I was underneath the table and I laughed.
Stop. Completely fine. We had our first current Saturday Night Live cast member on 8x8 on Monday night. It's not worthy of screaming, just pointing this out. During the photo I took, Jamel's on his phone. Just the whole fucking set.
I have a problem.
So no matter what, who it is, be it Dana from D.C. or Brooks from New York City, Jamel could give a fuck.
It's not that I don't give a fuck.
Stop.
I'm live tweeting it.
Stop. I'm going to make it better, though. I'm making it better. He might not look like he gives a fuck. Around minute 6 of your video, Jamel's blowing air kisses to me and you. That's going to make your video good.
Is that good?
That's going to make your video
I blew it to Brandon, but it kind of careened off of your butt because I was behind you. You see what I'm saying?
Mm. That's the Tonight
so
Show
like
magic,
a, like
guys.
A like a bumper.
Where can people find you online, Dana?
I'm really looking forward to that footage. people could find me on Facebook / Dana Flightman Comedy or on Twitter at DFLEIT.
I'm plugging the fuck out of that right
and
now.
Okay, and I have obnoxious self-promoting business cards, so if you want one, I'll
happily
give you one.
What do they say?
They say, like, my name, they have a picture of me that looks good, and then it has, you know, my Facebook and everything.
I don't need business cards. I don't even cash my own checks.
Wow.
22 years of late night, never cashed a check.
Wow.
I make my money on the road. I'm a road dog, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Dana, everybody. He's here to do headlines, ladies and gentlemen, for color commentary and headlines. Coming to the stage, Haywood Turnipseed Jr. It's time for headlines. Play him on. Thank you, John Popper. That was beautiful.
All right.
Hey, Haywood Turnipseed Jr., friend of the show. We're going to do a segment called Color Commentary, headlines.
Yes. Thanks for having me on your last show, Jay.
It means a lot that you're here. We've gone through a lot over these past 22 years. When we started this show,
yes.
Justin Bieber wasn't alive.
At all.
That's why we call them the good old days.
Waka waka.
Why didn't he have a Muppet? What the fuck? That would have been perfect.
Because he's Jay.
I'm just Jay, guys.
He did have a Muppet. Kim Kardashian. Hey-o.
Bam! Two for two.
Two for two.
That's a new catchphrase I coined by stealing it from him. Get it? Never mind. Anyways, color commentary, we talk about really incredible things in a bar.
Yes, yes, yes. Color commentary, where we talk about the world through the eyes of color, and we comment on it as we should.
Okay, so what are we talking about this week?
This week, actually, this week is a wild week because this week is like February. It's the first week of Black History Month. So we should be talking about Black History Month. But then we also just had the Super Bowl. And then, like, Bruno Mars was amazing at the Super Bowl.
He was fantastic.
So, like, there was, like, literally, like, I saw this Facebook meme that said, hey, guess what? There was a football game at the Bruno Mars concert. And we could talk
Nailed
about
it. Nailed it! Nailed it!
That's on.
Nailed it.
So, literally, we could talk about a black quarterback, another black young quarterback winning the Super Bowl and having a great performance. But, you know, this being Black History Month, something came up that just, like, trumped everything. George Zimmerman and DMX are literally going to fight. And I am like, what the fuck is going on in the world today where George Zimmerman is allowed to call himself a goddamn celebrity?
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
How the fuck is DMX allowed to call himself a celebrity? Is an even bigger question in the world today. And I'm like, wait a minute now. So this is why I, first of all, and let's be honest about it, in a perfect world, in the real world, this fight we wouldn't want to see. We don't want to see George Zimmerman anymore. We want to see him go away, right? So there is a Facebook campaign.
Wait, you didn't let the people respond. You answer that rhetorically, like you're positive. Everyone in this room wants George
okay,
Zimmerman
to go away.
Okay, does
anybody want to keep hearing
Listen,
about
do
George
you think
Zimmerman?
The tonight, see, the Tonight Show caters to a wide array of people.
Well, no, I'm just assuming.
I'm sure a lot of the audience of the Tonight Show does not want George Zimmerman to go away.
I'm just assuming, like, I have, like, I nobody in the... I'm just assuming.
Oh, my God. Was that the first time I ever got you to not have a response?
No, I'm just assuming. And that's and it is wrong of me to assume because then I'm going to ask if you and me are.
Nailed it.
But I don't want to do that. So is there anyone who wants to see George Zimmerman call himself a celebrity? Is there anyone who wants to see DMX call himself a celebrity?
Me. I like DMX.
Good. That's my point. That's my point.
I like DMX.
That's the point I wanted to make. I was like, I don't really want to see this fight. So in real honesty, there's a Facebook campaign to say, hey, let's not see this fight. But in my comedic mind, I'm like, this is why I want to see DMX whoop the fuck out of George Zimmerman. Because I'm not
Those
that
are the
person.
Cheapest applause. I'm sorry, I've been doing Leno for an hour. Those are the cheapest applause all night.
Because I'm talking
Who
about...
Who wants to see DMX beat up George Zimmerman?
No,
I'm going to say something controversial, guys. Clear the way.
But see, that's... But no. See, that's where you're wrong, motherfucker. See?
No, I'm not.
Let's get it, Jay. This is where you're wrong. Nobody wants to see DMX. That wasn't my point. Nobody wants to see DMX whoop George Zimmerman. They just want to see George Zimmerman get his ass whooped.
Well, yeah.
And we know DMX will whoop his ass. DMX has a song called X Gonna Give It To You. He should come out to that. X Gonna Give It To You. Gonna Give It To You. This nigga, I know he fought pit bulls. I know it. Kevin Eubanks, was there not a source article about that?
Yo, he was out there with him. I remember that.
I mean, literally, this is a dude who has a song called My Niggas. We ride here. And this is all the shit he should come out to when he's fighting George Zimmerman. And I'm like, yo, and I'm a peaceful dude. I really don't like, this is Bob Marley's birthday week. And it's also, but it would have been Trayvon Martin's birthday week. And I'm like, both of them are dead, so this is topical. Took them there, didn't I?
Actually.
My point is this. We want them to have a great memory. Bob Marley has a great memory. Peace, love, and we will all come together. And when that piece of shit, George Zimmerman, gets his ass whooped, we will all love it. But if DMX cannot make it for whatever reason, because we know he has issues, he's known not to show up to a fight or show or pit bull contest. I have five bona fide celebrities, black, who should fuck George Zimmerman up just in case. Eubanks, you are excluded. You are a jazz guitarist.
Stop, really quick, really quick.
Fine with me.
Really quick, really quick. Complete serious, complete serious. Kevin Eubanks is fucking ripped. I am not joking. He was on the cover of Men's Health about 5 years ago.
Yes, he practices yoga.
Dude is fucking ripped.
He's peaceful, and he too said, I want to see this fight. He literally said, I will play guitar at that shit. I will play, it's going to give it to you. Hit me that, Blues Traveler.
Who are your celebrities?
The heart will bring you back.
I thought you were doing five heartbeats, but then you went the other way.
So these are my five celebrities that I say, honestly.
You know more Blues Traveler songs than me. It took me like 10 seconds.
Sorry, Jay, I'm a man of the people. I'm a man of the people, Jay. I'm a man of the people. You have too many automobiles. I take Metro. Just like every other young Trayvon Martin who wants to whoop George Zimmerman. They said DMX should fuck him up. But if he doesn't, I was asking the young brothers on the Metro, who do you want to see fight George Zimmerman? One young brother said, Naomi Campbell. We know she would whoop his ass. And I was like, right, point to you, sir. We know Naomi Campbell, in case DMX can't make it, Naomi Campbell, she would fight George Zimmerman. Next one, Meta World Peace, but not Meta World Peace, Ron Artest.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you mean Meta World Peace? He was like, no, I want Ron Artest, the same Ron
Pacers
Artest.
Jersey.
The nigga who
Auburn
beat up
Palace.
Every
5 years.
Yes. Auburn Palace.
The Palace. I want that Ron Artest. He fought every nigga in the Palace that night. He was like a Riley Cooper in reverse. He fought everybody that night.
People
it was
like to forget Jermaine O'Neal's involvement.
You know what I mean? Jermaine O'Neal knocked the fuck out of a motherfucker.
He was.
So then I asked another cat on the Metro. He was like, I would love to see the cast of The Real Housewives of Atlanta fight George Zimmerman.
Wait, stop. But just the white women.
No.
What?
He was like Nene and them. He's like, they were getting their ass.
That's controversial.
They would tag team all of them. And then one nigga said, what about Love and Hip Hop? And I said, point to you, sir. You are absolutely right. I would love to see Peter Guzman whip that ass. And then one dude said, the husband, Apollo, from The Real Housewives. Only Natalie Gilliam knows what I'm talking about. And that is very black reference. So you know I was on the Green Line. It's a very... Your listening audience don't know what we're talking about. Green Line means black in America. That means the urban line.
That is true in Chicago as well. He's right. That's Chicago as well.
So now you know what I'm talking about. Apollo did some time in jail, and he literally whooped the shit out of a motherfucker on TV last week. So he wouldn't have no problem beating the fuck out of George Zimmerman on TV like he's supposed to. So that's the whole point. George Zimmerman got to get his ass whooped. Nobody can lose.
Well, hear me.
Nobody can lose. I'm serious. Like, if anybody loses, then we all like, what?
See?
Like, we'd all be like, what? Like, that would just take the sales out. It'd be like, fuck, damn, at least Bin Laden's dead.
Is that the name of the fight? Zimmerman DMX.
At least Bin Laden's dead. We just made some money.
That's the new name of this talk show, everybody. At least Bin Laden.
Last but not least. The number one person, and this is the consistent, and everybody on the Metro stood up and clapped, and we all said at the same time, yes, this makes the perfect sense. This should have been the fight. The one person we all want to see fight George Zimmerman and whoop his ass is Mr. Kim Kardashian, Kanye motherfucking West. Get your redemption, my nigga. Get your redemption. Everyone would love you. We forget about the Taylor Swift incident. We forget about it.
Stop. What's the Taylor Swift incident? He was right. That Beyonce video is way fucking better.
But you can't kick a microphone out of a young white girl's hand in America.
Did you see the show? Have you seen the show? Episode 315. That's all I fucking do.
It's still America, Jay.
That's
you cannot
true.
Kick a microphone out of a young white girl's hand.
The only thing
worse than that is not listening to a black man with a microphone. You know he too has a dream.
The only thing.
And I have a dream. And I think Martin Luther King had a dream. And he too would roll over his grave if George Zimmerman walked away unscathed. I channeled Martin Luther King just the other day. I was like, it's Black History Month. I'm going to go to the meeting. And Martin Luther King's ghost was there. And he was like, I know what's happening.
I'm going to go to the meeting.
Shut up. Kevin, am I right?
Hey.
No, that's Ricky Minor.
Ricky, whatever the hell. Even Martin Luther King said, I have a dream, and that dream right now is that DMX whoops George Zimmerman's ass.
Controversial statements from Haywood.
Free at last. Free at last. Whoop George Zimmerman's ass.
These are my two.
X gonna give it to you. He gonna give it to you.
These are my two favorite scenarios. We get to, you buy it on pay-per-view, you get to watch DMX smoke crack cocaine.
With then, the mayor of Toronto.
Then he actually murders George Zimmerman. Other scenario.
And walks away.
And walks away.
And walks away.
Other scenario is, it's actually, we've all been duped, it's actually just them having an intellectual debate in a boxing ring. And they both smoke the crack.
If...
To show that it's
the
a tie.
The only other option would be Sam.
To show that it's a tie.
That is awesome. That is awesome. The only other option would be that Richard Sherman actually stands there and says, I have a better life than you, George Zimmerman. That's the only other option.
How did Putin not get this at Sochi? You know what I'm saying? This should have been at Sochi, kid.
Well, that's option number three that we send George Zimmerman to Sochi.
Send him to Sochi.
I would have talked about the Olympics, but all we got is Jamaican bobsled team.
They back this year?
One, yeah, yes, they back. Are.
Ooh.
Cool Runnings. Feel the rhythm. Feel the rhyme. Get it up one more time. There Thank you, go. Guys. Thank you.
Put your hands together for Haywood Turnip Seed Shooting.
Much love.
That was amazing, and coming to the stage is possibly the most American musician of all time. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a big honor to have him here. Give him a warm round of applause for Mr. Bob Dylan, everybody. Bob Dylan is here. Oh, Mr. Dylan, this is quite an honor. I mean, this is amazing. I thank you for being here.
Yes.
First off, you're an inspiration to all of us. Everyone on this stage has been heavily influenced by you. Everyone in this city has, if not the world. You're one of the most important people ever.
Okay.
Okay, so you came to do the show. You sent me a Facebook message.
Yes.
And it said, I want to be on your show.
I want to be on your talk show.
And you're here.
Tonight.
So what did you want to talk about?
I wanted to talk about my new greatest hits compilation.
Oh, you have a new greatest hits compilation. You have so many hits. I can't believe it. What's going to be on your greatest hits compilation?
Brandon, I don't know if you saw my spot at the Super Bowl.
I did. It was a very powerful, important commercial.
I've decided that I'm going to speak like an old jazz man now.
Oh, really?
That's what's coming out.
That's great.
I used to sound like more like Bob Dylan, but right now I sound more like a jazz man.
Voices change over time, I understand.
Anyway, if you were watching the Super Bowl, you might have heard that I'm selling cars now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because America is getting back to work, Brandon. And the thing that's getting us back to work is Chevy trucks.
Chevy trucks are getting us back to work. That makes sense.
Basically, I read the same script that Clint Eastwood read last year. But because of my ridiculous voice, it seemed fresh and original.
I never thought of that. That makes perfect sense.
Yes. So, I don't know, Brandon, if you've noticed, but I'm selling the fuck out.
Well, you deserve it. I mean, you've been an important figure for more than 50 years.
I've got what, like 3 months left on this earth.
Oh yeah, that's fair. Let's be realistic.
And I'm gonna whore myself out.
Oh really?
And I'm going to leave Jacob nothing. Absolutely nothing. Have you listened to the Wallflowers? It's crap. Total shit.
I don't know. I like three Marlenas. I think it's an all right, too.
It's okay.
It's all right.
I take it back.
All right, so.
He still gives nothing.
You're a fucking brutal dad.
So anyway, all these songs that you know from the great Bob Dylan songbook, I'm re-releasing them, but I'm giving them that extra special flavor.
Sounds interesting. Could I have one of those songs now?
For instance, do you know my song, The Answer is Blowing in the Wind?
I do know. It's actually called Blowing in the Wind, but yes, I love that song.
It doesn't matter, really. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is a Chase Citibank Freedom Card. Thank you.
Wow. That is beautiful. Just as important and powerful as it was in the 60s.
With a zero APR for your first year. The Chase Citibank Freedom Card helps you do shit. I don't know. I don't know what I'm selling, really. I'm an old man.
It's pretty good. You got any other ones?
Do you know my great hit? How does it feel?
Yeah, that one.
What is it? What's the name
of it? I think that's the name of it.
No, it's not.
Like a Rolling Stone?
That's the name of the song that I wrote myself. So this is this is a clip from my new.
I'm very excited to hear this clip.
I'm going to throw it to clip.
Throw it to the clip, Kevin.
How does it feel to be on your own? That's not it. Like a complete unknown. With a Samsung Galaxy S3 phone. You can browse on it. You can even watch some dirty movies on it if you want. At the library, I'm an old man. I watch porn in public. Okay.
You got any other ones?
Yes. I got two more.
I'd love to hear both of those.
Okay. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, please sing for me. I am not sleeping, and there is no Lunesta, the number one prescription branded sleep aid. With over 31 million prescriptions written to date, call your doctor to see if Lunesta is right for you. This next one I remember on guitar.
Do you want to play it?
I'm going to play it and sing it at the same time.
Are you going to use this one?
Yeah, could I, Kevin?
Yeah.
I love your work. Thank you.
Here's Kevin's guitar. Kevin Eubanks' guitar. Dylan's going to play that now.
While you're setting up, I just want to say I really love you, and your records are actually currency in Columbia Heights now. I bought a Reuben with a copy of Blonde on Blonde.
Yes, all that vintage shit is popular now. I haven't used a guitar in 43 years. My mind is now. I can't leave her anymore. Feel like I'm knocking on heaven's door.
Knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on hardwood floors. Hardwood floors, everybody. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on Delonte's flooring designs. Delonte's flooring designs on East West Highway in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you.
Bob Dylan, everybody. Thank you, Bob. That meant a lot. It was a real honor and a pleasure to have a legend like yourself grace our stage. Thank you so much. Guys, we have two more segments of the night, and they're both very important to me. One is this band called Pleasure Curses, and they are quite good. And you can see Pleasure Curses on March 1st at the Howard Theater, and it's going to be a great show. You're also going to be able to see Mr. Jamel, Mr. Adam, Mr. Haywood, and some other people that are on the show at that show on Saturday, March 1st at the Howard Theater.
We're going to be performing a one-act play for you guys. This play is titled I'll Be There For You. And this play won Fringe Festival. It won the Emerge Art Fair. It won Artomatic 8 years in a row. And this play was featured in a city paper article about the 930 Club. So... I'm really glad to see a lot of reporters from the city paper here tonight. looking fashionable as usual. And if I could just... So this play was written by Kevin Tribbiani. It's titled I'll Be There For You, and it's a period piece. Thank you guys so much for coming out. My name is Andrew Bucket. I'm usually a comedian, but tonight I'll be wearing the hat of actor. Can you turn it up, Dylan? Can we turn it up, Dylan?
Thank you. Sorry, I just bladed here. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm late. I was on hold with Ticketmaster for like an hour trying to get tickets to the HF Festival. Did anybody get tickets to the HF Festival this year?
I did. I got 6 tickets, and me and my friends are going to share them. But what I'm really pissed about is how I can't get Pearl Jam tickets through Ticketmaster.
Oh, my God. Have you guys bought their new album, 10?
I loved it. Do you know it's about my friend who did the first ever school shooting?
Oh, well.
His name's Jeremy.
I know Jeremy. I thought that he was in Alice in Chains. Is that not?
Yeah, well...
I thought that he came to snub the rooster, no?
Yeah, he snuffed it, and then he went on to shoot his school. So, anyway, so pissed because my friend got a cell phone.
I'm sorry, what's a cell phone?
Sorry, well, so my friend's a millionaire, and he has a cell phone, okay. And so...
Here's the thing, like... How tired are you guys of like getting your telephone cords wrapped up when you're just trying to have a conversation and you just want to go from one room to the other room?
Right, it's so annoying. And then your mom picks it up and she's like, is somebody on the phone?
Yeah, and you're like, Mom, I still live with you. Why?
I'm talking to Jeremy. Get off the phone.
He spoke in class today. Can I tell you something? Can I make a prediction? I don't know if you guys have been watching The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I'm going to make a prediction
I know
now.
I have, because it's on every Thursday night at 8 p.m.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to make a prediction.
On a major network.
That Will Smith, he's fine. He's not going to go anywhere. But you know who's going to go somewhere?
He's a flash in the pan.
Alfonso Ribeiro. Can we all agree that Alfonso Ribeiro is the real hit of that show?
Right.
Right? Have you seen the dance?
I love the Carlton dance.
Thank you. I know that he's the star. Like, if we never heard from Will Smith again, I would not even be surprised.
I also love Tatiana M. Ali. She's my favorite.
Good one. Yeah.
You know, but also on TV these days, I don't know if you've heard about this musical Rent. It's new. And so
no, but you know what?
It's
I
about
did.
AIDS, apparently.
I don't know what that is.
Which is a topical thing.
I don't really know what that is, but I do know what HIV is. Because everyone I know has it.
My mom still calls it grids.
It's weird. You know what I call it? High five. Cause like, and then you can, and you're HIV positive, you can have all the cars in one lane.
You know the guy that directed the movie Slacker? Well, he's got a new movie coming out, and it's about the 70s.
Hmm.
I bet it's going to suck. I don't think anybody's going to like it.
Probably not. The 70s were kind of...
Can we turn it up, Dylan, for fuck's sake?
Thank you. So here's the thing. Is it just me, or do you know what I get every day? You look like Blossom.
Oh, that girl that's on TV currently.
Yeah, no, I love her. I'm sorry if I'm trying to emulate a look. Like, I can't be Brenda or Dylan or Brendan or Ian Ziering, who was 35 years old at the time. I'm sorry.
I always wanted to be a Luke Perry, but it turns out I'm just a Jared Leto.
Oh, no. You know what?
That's kind of a bummer.
That's your so-called life. Can I tell you a crazy thing that happened to me on the way here while I was blading? I was blading here. I was gleaming the cube. And I got, like, I almost got run over by this white Ford Bronco.
Mm-hmm.
That was on a high-speed chase.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of cops. I have no idea what happened, but I got hit in the face by one single glove.
Oh, shit.
One glove. I don't know where the other glove is.
What kind of car? Wait,
who throws out one glove? By the way, I tried it on. It doesn't even fit.
What kind of car did it come out of?
It was a white Ford Bronco.
I bet it was.
I mean, I took note of it because I'm very...
Actually, there's a guy that lives down the street from me that drives that kind of a car. Some kind of celebrity.
Don't squeeze the juice.
You know what? Was there cops involved?
Oh, a lot of bad boys.
I could ask my uncle's a judge.
No, but they were...
Did you know I'm a quarter Japanese? So my uncle's a judge in California. I could ask him about it.
Well, you know, if I can get the insider information. Can I tell you one thing? I know we were talking about TV earlier, but did you hear last night that David got kicked off?
David, of
The Real World?
Oh, the current season of The Real World. Yeah, I heard that David got kicked
off
of it.
Taking Tammy's towel off? What is that? That's not rape.
I know. It feels like she made such a big deal out of it. And it's like,
come
he was
on,
joking.
Come on, Tamster, Tammy Tam.
Tammy Tams.
Tamster.
I'm really excited for the next episode of the current season of The Real World where the character John is a country music singer.
Yeah. A good one. It's gonna be good.
So
also, I don't want to bum anybody out right now. I don't want to bum you out, but did you guys hear about Kurt Cobain?
Oh yeah,
they're still playing. He shot himself in the face.
It up, Dylan. Dylan's our sound guy. Thanks, Dylan. Anyways, so I was hanging out at the mall, and
oh my god,
I went into Woodward and Lothrop, and apparently the Stussy shirts were all sold out at Woodward and Lothrop.
Here's my problem with that. I have every No Fear shirt.
I love your No Fear shirt. In fact, I tried to steal it from you the other day when we were drinking a lot of Surge Cola and just getting totally weird.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. If we could just play a little less hacky sack in the quad.
Well, because now I have a shin splint because I've been running a lot with the cross-country team. And
it's true. You know what? I know that this weekend we were supposed to get together to make hemp necklaces.
Uh-huh.
But I'm too busy trying to define irony.
Uh-huh. I know. Irony. I felt a lot of irony when I visited the World Trade Center with my parents, which is...
Still,
you know,
still standing,
good and
still
strong.
Standing.
I don't feel like anybody
still
can bring.
I
mean, what a sturdy structure! I don't think.
America.
Just like school security, did I tell you about the trench coat that I got? Oh my god, it's so sick! And so I have been rocking this trench coat around with some of my friends, and.
That makes a lot of sense.
mm-hmm. Anyway, did I tell you that I just broke up with my boyfriend?
No, I'm not really comfortable with that at the moment. I think we're still... Did he have HIV?
He's on The Real World. He's actually a cast member on The Real World. And
Is it the guy that died of HIV? I'm just...
What? Nobody died.
Whoops.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry. Look, here's the thing. I don't know how that works. Like, can you get it from a toilet seat? Can I get it from this microphone? I don't even know.
Anyway, my gay boyfriend on The Real World, his name is Puck, and he's a bike messenger.
Oh, God, speaking of messenger, I am almost out of my AOL disk hours. If anybody in the audience has...
Dude, no, it's totally cool. My dad has a disc.
I am on hour 23, and I am in Teen Shack 64.
No, my dad...
Made a friend.
My dad totally has a disc of 25 free hours of AOL that I can totally give you, which
because
is no problemo.
Here's the thing. I go home from school. I dial up. I wait an hour to get online. I make a snack, and then I log on to Teen Chats. And I've got like 1 hour left on my disc. So if anybody has like an extra disc, please page me. Can you guys please page me? The number is 420-911-6969. That's my pager number. Please put 831 as a code. It's eight letters, three words, one meaning, I love you. Then I'll know what you're saying. I'll call you back. Otherwise, I just don't even... I can't find a fucking payphone to save my life, okay? So please put 831 or I will not call you back.
Did I tell you that I'm applying to college? Because, you know, the my parents say that the American dream is still a possibility. So...
Oh, you mean your parents, the people that both have two jobs and a mortgage that they pay on time?
Yeah.
I love your parents.
Anyway.
It's been good. I think catching up is.
Thanks
been fun.
So much. This
yeah,
has been
great.
I'll be there for you.
I got to get off this stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming out. Put your hands together for Pleasure Curses, everybody.
Baby, oh, everybody knows that you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful. I'll give or take a night or two.
Stuff earlier.
You're fencing it in. Right to the left, all over the playpen. But you came on your own. Shake it to the right house so you don't go home. We'll take it from you. So cover your eyes to see. I'm at the right place in the wrong way. Was in the right place but the wrong day. I'm at the right place in the wrong way. Was in the right place but the wrong day. So I'm about to go to the left or right. In the wrong way. Was in the right place but the wrong day.
Our last song. Thank you for coming out. We're pleasure curses.
me. In the corner where my shadow joins me. In the corner where my shadow joins me tonight. The time is right. Do not prepare to give tonight. There's nothing wrong with them. The bar set high, and we will come on our hands again to start. But I am right. You were just a world away. You were just a world away. Oh, you were just a world away.
Thank you. A pleasure, curses. Good night.